Good evening. I am Danielle Woods, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time to join us this evening. Tonight, Senator Jimmy Dillon, representing Northeast Philadelphia, will take your calls and questions regarding the upcoming November general election. As a reminder, and you will hear this multiple times throughout the evening, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. Again, that is star 3 on your keypad to participate. So now, without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Jimmy Dillon.
Thank you, Danielle. Good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Jimmy Dillon, and welcome to this telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors here in Northeast Philly. Before we dive in, I would like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedules to participate in tonight's calls. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I really appreciate your engagement. As Danielle mentioned, if you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press star 3 on your phone. Tonight, we are having an informational discussion about the upcoming November 5th election. There are a lot of important deadlines, rights you have as voters, and much more that we want to make sure you understand ahead of our election. Before we hear from our guest, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. Philadelphia City Commissioner Lisa Dealey was first sworn in January of 2016, and she's made it a priority to bring the electoral process to the people of Philadelphia. She's led the department through the 2020 presidential election and has successfully instituted mail-in voting in our city. Commissioner Dealey, I want to take the time to thank you not only for being here with us tonight, but for your friendship and all of your efforts toward representing us here in the Northeast and throughout Philadelphia in terms of our electoral process. And the floor is all yours.
Well, thank you very much, Senator, and good evening to everyone who has taken the time out to join us on this call. As it was stated, I'm Lisa Dealey. I am a City Commissioner of Philadelphia, and even though I am elected citywide to represent everyone in Philadelphia, my heart and my roots land right here in Northeast Philadelphia, as I've lived here my whole life, and I'm still here, and I'm so happy to be here in the 5th Senatorial District talking about the November 5th election with my good friend and our great Senator, Jimmy Dillon.
Thank you. Again, it's been an honor and pleasure for both of us to serve our constituents up here in the Northeast. And at this time, enough about us. We're going to toss it back over to Danielle, who we're going to open up the floor for our questions and comments from our callers. So, Danielle, the floor is yours.
Yeah, okay, Senator. We are still getting people calling in right now. And, again, if you would like to ask a question during this telephone town hall, please press star 3. But we actually did have some questions submitted in advance of this evening. And I'm going to go to one question from Bill in Somerton. He asks, Senator Dillon, I've been hearing a lot about how we might not know the election results right away on November 5th. Why is that, and should we be worried?
Thank you, Bill. It's a great question, and it's something we hear a lot, Commissioner Dealey, a lot more than I do. But the reason that we might not have all of the results on election night is that our election officials are following the law to ensure that every vote is counted accurately. Here in Pennsylvania, mail-in ballots can't even start being processed until Election Day itself, so it takes a bit longer. But it's not about how long it is. It's about getting it right and not rushing to get it done. We've got to, as our Sixers fans in the city know, trust the process, and every vote matters, and we want each and every one of them to make sure that they're counted. Thank you.
All right, let's go to, we do have a caller. Let's go to Joel from the Northeast. Joel, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner Dealey.
Yes, hi. I just want to know what was, if there's been any threats to election workers, and if has there been any, is anything being done to make sure they're safe and protected?
Well, thank you so much, Joel, for that question. You know, we hear a lot about that, about threats to election workers and our poll workers. And let me say a couple of things, if I may. First of all, for anybody that's listening that is a poll worker for us, I want to first and foremost thank you. That's where the rubber meets the road on Election Day, and we can't make elections happen without you. If you can hear my voice and you want to be a poll worker, please leave a comment in the chat section or however you leave comments, because we need all the poll workers we can get on Election Day. Philadelphia has not seen that kind of activity with our poll workers, the kind that you hear about. You know, Election Day in Philadelphia is a very unique day. It's your friends and neighbors. They come out, and everybody's usually typically very friendly. We haven't had any threats to poll workers on Election Day. We didn't see any in 2020, and we're hoping that we won't see any of that in 2024. But it is something that we do recognize that people are hearing, and we want to make sure to thank, you know, everybody that helps us with that, right? So we have great relationships with the police department and other law enforcement agencies throughout the city and the state. So in the event that anything were to happen, we have boots on the ground, and we are fully ready to take on those challenges. But historically, Election Day has been a beautiful day in Philadelphia, and we expect the tradition to continue.
Awesome. And we have another great question coming in now from John in Somerton. John, you are live with the senator and the commissioner.
Hi, John. Are you with us?
Oh, let's see. John, do we have John?
Yep.
There he is.
All right. Awesome. Yes.
All right. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Take it away.
All right, great. So quick question for you both. Number one, good afternoon, is what kind of checks and balances are in place to make us, you know, the voters, secure in knowing that there ain't nothing shady going on behind closed doors in reference to all these mail-in ballots?
So that's a great question, John. And, you know, there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation that surrounds us with mail-in ballots, because even though we've been doing it since 2020, you know, we just started. But people have been voting by mail around the country for years and years, and there are plenty of checks and balances in Pennsylvania. For starters, we don't just mail people ballots. There's a misconception that we just mail-in ballots out to people, that we don't do that. You have to request a mail-in ballot, and there's a whole check that gets involved in that application. You have to, you know, give us your identity, whether it's your social security number, your driver's license number. We check to make sure that you are actually a registered voter in Philadelphia that is, you know, applying for that ballot before we send it out. And we make sure that if we get your ballot back, it's logged in, and make sure that anybody can't go and vote in person after giving us the mail-in ballot. So there are plenty of checks and balances that the system has in place. For us in Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia, what we see is that because it takes us a little longer based on the laws of the election code that didn't catch up with the mail-in ballot law in 2019, is that wait time. So because there are a couple hours that people have to wait from when the polls close to when we start putting up the mail-in ballot numbers, that's the time when the mis and the disinformation begins to grow. But rest assured, you know, for everybody out there, only eligible voters get mail-in ballots, and only eligible mail-in ballots get counted.
And, you know, I think this is a perfect segue to another question that we had sent in, which, again, if you are listening right now, star 3, if you would like to ask a question related to the upcoming election, Star 3 will get you through and let you ask your question. But Tom in Parkwood, he wrote in that he was planning to vote by mail this year and is hoping that you can walk him through what he needs to do to make sure his vote gets counted. And I know there's so many deadlines, so maybe if we touch on those too, that would be really helpful for all of our listeners.
Sure. Thank you, Danielle. And great question, Tom. Voting by mail is a secure and a convenient option. First, you need to apply for your mail-in ballot by October 29th. And you can do that online, you can do that by mail, or you can do it in person at your county election office. Once you receive your ballot, you would obviously fill it out carefully, put it in the secrecy envelope, and then place that in the return envelope. Everybody needs to know this, and please do not forget to sign the declaration on the return envelope. Finally, you would make sure that your ballot is returned to your county election office by 8 p.m. on election night, November 5th. If you follow these steps carefully, take your time, you can be sure and you can be confident that your vote will be counted.
Commissioner Dealey, anything you want to add to that, you know, maybe even a push to not procrastinate on that front?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. You know, the security envelope is an important piece of the mail-in ballot packet. We ask you to make sure that after you put the security envelope into the return envelope, that you sign and date that ballot. That envelope needs to be signed and dated. So you want to make sure there are a lot of court cases right now that are flying around that have to do with the date. You know, there's nothing has changed. The law still states that the declaration envelope has to be signed and dated. So please make sure that you take the time to put your voted ballot in the secrecy envelope, put the secrecy envelope in the declaration envelope, sign and date the declaration envelope. And as the Senator said, the last day to apply for a mail-in ballot is October 29th, but you want to make sure that you get it back to us as soon as possible. Don't wait till the 29th to apply, and certainly don't wait till the 29th to mail your ballot back to us, whether you're going to use a convenient drop box up here in the Northeast or whether you're going to go to one of our offices to drop off your ballot, or even if you're going to choose the United States Postal Service to get your ballot back to us. Please make sure you allow plenty of time if you're using the Postal Service to make sure we get your ballot in time. There are local convenient drop boxes in the Northeast where we're happy to, you know, you can deposit your voted ballot and we'll definitely get it back in time. You can go to Calvano Playground. You can go to Chalfont or Connor Playground. You can go to our warehouse on the boulevard at 11311 Roosevelt Boulevard. There's a drop box there. And they are 24-hour places where you can drop your ballot. They are secure, safe, and you can rest assured that that ballot is coming directly back to us. They are all monitored, constantly monitored, so they're safe, they're secure, your ballot is safe and secure there, and it guarantees a safe delivery to our headquarters where we make sure that every eligible vote gets counted.
All right, let's go now to William. William, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Hello, Danielle. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Bill from Upper Holmesburg. Hello, Senator Jimmy, and hello, Commissioner Lisa. Thanks for putting on this this great program here. This question is, we always see a lot of people, especially this year, a lot of people who might not normally vote are coming out for this election. How do we make sure that as a voter we're going to the right polling place? What's the best way to make sure that you're going to the right polling place?
That's a great question, Bill, and that is so true. There are a lot of people that don't vote on a regular basis, but seems like everybody makes it to the polls, and we hope everybody makes it to the polls on November the 5th. So the City Commissioner's Office will mail every eligible voter a postcard in the mail before the election, and you can go to our website at vote.phila.gov, where you can look up your where your polling place is.
All right, that was a great question from Bill this evening. Let's head on over to Northeast Philly, and we're going to hear from Adam. Adam, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Senator and Commissioner. How are you?
Good, Adam. Thanks for calling in. We lost him
Oh, Adam, can you hear us, Adam?
Yep, can you hear me?
Okay, yes, all right. Take it away.
My question is about transparency. Are the ballots going to be available for public access along with the voter rolls so they can be checked for signature verification and that the ballots are being cast in a legal and constitutional way.
So, a couple things there. So the ballot, once the ballot is ready, you'll be able to go on the website. You can see the ballot and how it's going to look, whether it's the mail-in ballot or the full-face ballot. And then our counting process, which I think is what you're referring to, there's a live stream that we have hooked up at our ballot processing center, which you can go onto our YouTube channel on Election Day, and you can continue to monitor that whole process on our YouTube channel. And our processes are also could also be found on our website.
Okay, let's go now to Jessica. Jessica, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Hello, Senator, and hello, Commissioner. I do want to introduce myself. My name is Jessica Villas, and I'm the world's first disabled makeup artist. I do makeup using my mouth due to a disability called arthrogryposis. So my question is, how can we better make the polling boxes, or the polling machines, rather, more accessible to different disabilities with different limitations?
That's an excellent question, and I want you to know that that was one of my biggest accomplishments, actually. When we purchased the voting system that we have in Philadelphia, one of the main reasons why I voted for that particular system is because of all the functions it has for the disabled population. And that's for starters. So the machines that you see at the polling locations are fully accessible. They have a variety of modifications. The screen comes down. They have glow and puff abilities. Every polling place, every division has a machine that is equipped for handicapped necessity. Now, we want to make sure that another thing we wanted to make sure was that people that had to vote with special needs could go into vote and not be singled out. What we saw as we moved around the country to look at new voting systems was that there, in a lot of instances, there was a special machine. It was kept in another part of the building. It was always like, we have to go get it. We have to turn it on. We wanted to make sure that when anybody went to vote in person on Election Day, everybody voted in the same manner, in the same fashion, on the same system. So I can tell you that the system that you will find at your polling place in Philadelphia on Election Day is very, it's friendly to the disabled community, and we've gotten, you know, a lot of, you know, high regard for that, and we're really proud of that selection.
That was a great question from Jessica. We have a lot of questions coming in tonight. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *3 on your keypad. Again, that is *3. To get involved and ask your question this evening. Let's maybe head to Barry. Barry, Division 29, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Hello, Senator, Commissioner. Good evening.
Barry.
Good evening.
Hey, Barry.
Hi. I have a question. Like, when you get older, sometimes your handwriting changes, or if you have a stroke or a heart attack, or you break your arm. Does this present mailing problems, like a lot of ballots getting thrown out because it doesn't look like the original? Or at least if you go and vote live, it can be challenged. You can show your photo ID right away or something if you think your handwriting has changed.
So if you think your handwriting's changed, everybody's handwriting's changed, right?
Yeah.
This is why, one of the reasons why the state of Pennsylvania doesn't have signature verification. We've already verified that you're an eligible voter through our application process for both voter registration and the mail-in ballot. And when you go to vote on Election Day in person, we already know that, you know, you are who you say you are. But if you If you wanted to change or update your signature, you could always do that by just re-registering the vote, you know, filling out a new voter registration form would update your signature in the records in the file. So that's always something that you can do.
Thank you, Barry, so much for your question. How about we tackle a couple of questions? We've got a few coming in about the mail-in ballots and voting by mail. Let's head to Timothy. Timothy, you are live with the senator and the commissioner.
Well, good evening, guys. I've met both of you before at various meetings. I do have, maybe this is a two-part question. One, well, three-part. One, do you think you could, that October 29th, date is kind of tight. Two is, can a mail-in ballot be dropped off at a polling place? And three, if that's not the case, then of course someone can fill out a provisional ballot. Is that correct?
So your last question is correct. People can always fill out a provisional ballot. If you have your mail-in ballot and you didn't get it back to us in time, you can bring your mail-in ballot to the polls on election day, and you can surrender it, and you can vote in on the voting system. If you don't have your mail-in ballot with you, and you are not, if you are not in the books as being a mail-in ballot that we received, but we know that we sent you a mail-in ballot, you'll be offered a provisional ballot at the polls to do that. As far as the 29th date, you know, I agree with you. But that is the legislature that sets those laws for us, and I don't have really any say over that. But believe me, I agree with you 100%. And it was the third question. I'm missing.
No polling places. You are not allowed to take your.
Oh, no. You cannot take your voter's mail ballot to the polls and leave it there for us to get. And that is for your own security and for the security of your vote. And
thank
we have
you.
To have all our mail ballots back by 8 p.m. So,
Timothy, do yourself a favor and tell anybody that you know your mail-in ballot is for you to directly take to an office, to a mailbox on your own, to the commissioner boxes. Do not hand that to anybody anywhere,
right,
or leave with anybody anywhere. It is, you know, completely, pretty much frowned upon from the process of how, you know, the election process works with us here in the city of Philadelphia.
Well, I work the polls, so I vote in person, but okay, thank you.
Thank you for taking your time to help us with the polls as well.
Thank you for being a poll worker. We appreciate you.
All right, let's head over to the Northeast, and we're going to go to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you are live with the senator and the commissioner.
Yes, Senator, this question is for you. My name is Jeffrey Stewart. I'm from the Northeast, Philadelphia. I met you in person plenty of times. My question to you is these mail-in ballots. I'm thinking about doing it by mail now, and I'd like to know if I do it by mail, how I guarantee that will get down and record the vote. How would that work?
So, Jeffrey, again, I mean, this is more or less a question that is in Lisa's wheelhouse, but just speaking on behalf of the commissioner and her staffing and the whole idea of the election process through things, they are hired to do a job. They are hired to make sure that elections are ran fairly, elections are ran without fear, and everybody has the right to exercise their right to vote in whatever capacity they have, right? And times have changed, Jeffrey, right? I mean, back growing up, being the son of a ward leader, you know, Election Day was somewhere where everybody took the time to wander and catch up at their local polling places and hang out and talk about the community and stuff and make it almost a social day of things, right? Those days are long gone. People are, you know, working two jobs and stuff here. People can't afford to take off at work at times, so they're faced to kind of knock in the mail-in ballot route, right? So with kind of a certain change that are go there, that trust the process phase here of knowing that our city commissioners and our people who are responsible for the election process are there to do a job, and that job is to make sure that there are fair, you know, free elections here for people to exercise their right to vote. And I'm going to allow the commissioner to kind of, you know, piggyback off of where we're going.
So, Jeffrey, thanks again. And if you're voting by mail, you know, there is a system the state has set up that tracks your application and your ballot all the way through the process. So you can always check the status of your ballot on the website. You'll get a text when we get your ballot back. So, you know, the state has done a good job in tracking that journey of your vote. But, you know, I like to tell people, again, I just want to reiterate, if you're voting by mail, do it early. Don't wait until the last minute. And please, whatever you do, if you're choosing to use the United States Postal Service, you have even less time because you want to make sure that you get that ballot in the mail in plenty of time for the United States Postal Service to get it back to us. We recommend you use one of our safe and secure drop boxes. There's a couple opportunities in the Northeast for you to do just that, or you can drop it off at one of our satellite offices. But whatever you do, just take the time to make sure that you date and sign the declaration envelope, put the secrecy on, put the ballot in the secrecy envelope. These are things that are out of our control that if you don't do, could jeopardize your vote. So you want to make sure that you sign and date the declaration envelope and that you use the secrecy envelope. Forgetting to do any one of those things could jeopardize your vote. We want to make sure that every eligible vote that is cast is counted.
Absolutely. Jeffrey, thank you so much for that question. Let's go to Fran in Pennypack. Fran, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Yeah, calling from Northeast Philly. I'm following up on a question, something that you had said a few minutes ago, that there's no signature verification in Pennsylvania. I wasn't aware of that. So I was just wondering, since ID is not required and signature verification is not something that we do anymore, how do we know that we have the right person voting?
Because we've already verified the voter through the application process, through your signature, through your date of birth, your Social Security number, and other identifying, you know, your address. We know your voter file record. We know that we're sending the ballot. We know where the ballot, who we sent it to, and it's a system that is set up to ensure that every eligible vote is counted. Signatures are checked at, can be checked at the polling place, but not at the mail, not at the mail level.
All right, thank you, Fran, for that question. Let's go to James. James, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Is that me?
Yes, it's you.
Hey, I've been voting by mail. I use Dropbox because it's more convenient. I think it's don't have to go through the mail service. My question is, I've been voting this way for the last maybe 5 years or whatever. I vote in the in the general election, the primaries. Every chance I have to vote, I vote. I was wondering when I could expect the next ballot. Are they printed up? Because I think there was a box on the application that said that, do you want this to be perpetual? And I said, yes. Now, I'm just anxious to vote, but I don't know when to expect the ballot. The other question I have is, how often do they collect from the drop box so that you know the timing, you know, that is what interests me. I would assume you would have more time by going directly to the drop box as opposed to through the mail. So that's why I use it. But I just wanted to know how often do they collect. And that's the end of my question.
Thank you so much. So I love that you're voting by mail and then you're using our drop boxes. The drop boxes are collected daily. We have staff we have a whole team of people. That's all they do. So the drop boxes are collected on a daily basis, and they're all locked by 8 p.m. on election night. So it really is the best way to get us your voted mail ballot. The ballot itself, typically goes out about 30 days before an election. So you can expect to see it then. And you brought up an excellent point with the mail-in ballot application. It does allow you to check a box where you can be a permanent mail-in ballot voter. And what that means, just another check that the state has, it doesn't mean that we're just going to mail you a ballot, you know, for perpetuity. We're going to ask you every year. We're not going to just mail you a ballot in perpetuity forever. Every year, we're going to send you the application and ask you again if you still want to be a mail-in ballot voter. So every year, you'll get a letter that says, do you still want to mail in ballot for the elections this year? So if you check yes, then you'll get a mail-in ballot for every election in that calendar year. So appreciate your voting by mail and using that drop box. So really, it is the safest, most secure way to make sure that we get your mail-in ballot.
Thank you so much, James, for that question. Again, if you would like to ask a question related to the upcoming November general election, you can press *3 on your keypad. Again, that is *3 on your keypad. We are getting some repetitive questions, but I think because we have people coming in a little bit later, I don't think it's any harm to maybe ask them again. So let's go to Stephen from Northeast Philly. Stephen, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Good evening. Good day. I have a quick question. What is the cutoff date for the mail-in ballots, the request for mail-in ballot? What do you suggest to be the cutoff date for when that can be accomplished?
That's it. The last day to apply for a mail-in ballot is the 29th.
October 29th.
That's the last day in order to request.
Yeah, so the last day to apply for a mail-in ballot is October 29th, and you can, you know, the applications can be submitted online or by mail or in person at any election officials' offices. It kind of just reminds voters to apply early and ensure that there's timely delivery of those ballots and stuff. So even though that is the deadline, obviously the message and the encouragement is for people to try and get well ahead of that so that, you know, not everybody is procrastinating and waiting for the last minute to get their stuff done and missing any deadlines. But to answer your question, October 29th of this year is the last day to apply for a mail-in.
Yeah, October 29th is the last day to apply, but we have to get your application. Then we have to mail that ballot out to you. Then you have to get it back to us all by 8 p.m. on election night. So we really... We don't encourage anybody to wait till the last day, but you have until the 29th of October.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Stephen. Let's go to, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, Stampy in Northeast. Stampy, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Yeah, good evening, Commissioner. I just wanted to know the location where I can drop my mail-in ballots in Northeast Philadelphia.
So you can drop your mail-in ballot in at Shale Farm Playground, at Palzano Playground, or at our voting warehouse, which is at 11311 Roosevelt Boulevard. You can also go to our website at vote.phyllis.gov, and they'll have a whole list of all the opportunities and where all our drop boxes are.
Okay, thank you.
We have one in Vogue.
Thank you.
We have a bunch of them up here.
Awesome. Let's go to Crystal. Crystal, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Hi. Hello, Senator Dillon and Commissioner Dewey. In the news, we hear a lot about various states that are purging their rolls, the registration rolls. I was wondering, I guess it's a two-part question, probably for Senator Dillon, has that happened in the Commonwealth? And then for Commissioner Dewey, and how do we check our registration to make sure that we are validly registered?
So with regard to the voter rolls, that's a federal law. We follow federal law with regard to that. So, you know, a lot of times you hear stories about states that are kicking people off the ballot. But in Pennsylvania, we follow federal law. So, you know, that's not an issue for us here. with 12 years of five, you know, it could take you, you've missed two federal elections, you know, we send you a letter. I mean, it's a big process. It takes, it could take 7 to 8 years, maybe sometimes even longer, for you to get off our list. And if anybody's out there, listening that's a poll worker, it's a they always are asking, how come all these names are still on the street list? That's one of the reasons why, because Pennsylvania follows federal law and just does not, you know, throw people off the rolls, in any, you know, crazy manner. We follow federal law.
Great question, and I know a lot of people have had that question. I want to go to, let's see, David. Let's go with David in Somerton. David, is David, do we have you?
Yes, we do.
All right, good there you go.
Good evening to the Senator and Commissioner.
David.
Hi. A lot of these election questions come about through the inability of people to get accurate information sometimes. So I'm going to have a political question that has a similar origin. I desperately try to be a bipartisan voter because I expect bipartisan behavior from my representatives in the Congress and the Senate and wherever. One of the problems that I have, I've been voting for a long time, born and raised in Northeast Philly, 75 years old, and what I've seen over time is an inability to get to know your representatives very well. Most of the time, the people on the ballots that I'm voting for seem to be strangers. And I'm sure I'm not the only voter that, seems to have this problem. It's very confusing because if you try and figure out the person, you miss the policies and the platforms that they're running on. And if you try and pay attention to the platforms and the policies, you don't really get a feel for that person as a human being and what kind of representative they're going to be. Do you have any advice on what the voter can do in this time that we're in, where there's so much mistrust of what politicians say to people to get elected?
David, thank you first and foremost for your 75 years of hanging out with us here in Northeast Philly and getting to the polls and electing. Again, obviously some things have changed over time here, like we had messaged here. You know, but the best thing that I can, you know, advice that I could give here is honestly, you know, it's tough for everybody to turn the TV on and see what media outlets out there have to say. It's tough for everybody to turn around and get a piece of mail. And, you know, with so much of the misinformation and things, you don't know what to believe and what's true and what's false. My advice in the time that I'm in here, and again, this is us holding us as elected officials accountable as well here, is, you know, to get out to your local civic meetings, to get out to your community events, to get out to senior fairs, and to stay involved in your neighborhoods and your communities. And if you have the right people who you'd like to learn about, you know, the policy side of stuff, hey, you can go on the websites and you can see where officials stand with votes and what officials stand with what legislation and endorsements. But at the end of the day, for you to get out and meet people in your community, you know, it's sad that I can hear something like you state that, you know, a lot of these people that you're voting for are strangers. Being elected in an area that you're to represent, part of what I hold my head high here on, is being accountable and being out there and being a good community partner. People were elected to do these things. I know that I can speak on behalf of the commissioner and I. We've taken efforts to get out into our high schools here to meet with our principals, to meet with our kids, to inform kids about the whole idea of process and what voting is about and having their voices heard. So So again, it is a little bit sad with social media and how things play out these days, and not knowing what's true and what's false. But getting involved in your communities and your civics and community engagement and seniors are the best way to honestly get to learn and meet your electeds and hopefully earn their trust and their vote on election day.
Thank you so much for that question. Let's go to Rose. Rose, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I'm calling to find out about approximately how many people are registered to vote in Philadelphia and how many people are expected to vote in this election. Do they have any estimate?
Yeah, Rose, if you can tell us how many people are going to vote in this upcoming election, Lisa and I will take you to dinner right now as soon as we're done here. But I'll leave it to the commissioner quickly here. This is her expertise. But.
So we have a little more than 1.1 million voters registered. But certainly, it would be great if everybody voted. We do see a higher turnout, admittedly in a presidential election. But we would hope to see as much as 80%, right? That would be awesome. But we really have no way of knowing. It'll be up to you and up to us to do all that we can. 4 years ago, we know that we had a little over 750,000 people that voted in November. We'd love to surpass that number. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you so much for that question, Rose. I do want to go to one of the submitted questions. But again, if you are online right now and you want to ask a question, please press star 3. Again, that is star 3 to ask a question during our conversation this evening. We have a question from Dave in Laurel Park. With all the talk about election integrity, how can we be sure that the voting machines we use are accurate and secure?
Dave, again, I'll let the commissioner jump in on here, but it is a crucial question. In Pennsylvania, every voting machine used in our elections is thoroughly tested and certified both at the state and the federal level. These machines are designed to be secured, and they're never connected to the Internet, which means they can't be hacked remotely. Plus, we have a robust post-election audit to verify the results. So that you can trust that when you cast your vote, it's not only counted accurately, but it's counted securely as well, and the commissioner will be able to assess that it's a little better than I can.
Thank you for the question. So in 2019, we got a new voting system in Philadelphia. It is a voting system that offers voters a verifiable paper ballot. So once you vote on the voting system, you get to see exactly who you voted for, both on the screen and on the paper ballot that is in the machine. So you get to verify that the buttons that you push on the voting system and the people that you selected are the same people that you see on the voter verifiable paper ballot. Both those votes are recorded, and we're able to verify it. You can at any point, if you decide to make a mistake, you can go back. You can redo it, or you can even spoil your ballot if you choose to and start all over again. The systems that we have, as the Senator said, they go through vigorous testing, and we have a staff that basically that's all they do all year round. For all of you that are listening, election day, and now the election season with the mail-in ballot, it's about 6 to 8 weeks. But for the staff of the City Commissioner's Office and for election staff throughout the country, it's what we do every day. So we have a staff of folks that's all they do is care for those voting machines to make sure that all the bells and whistles work, that they're fully stocked, that everything in there is up to par, and that they will pass any test, and that they will function properly, offering an accurate result for our voters on election day.
And I think another question that was submitted that kind of goes along with this and, concerns about integrity, Steve and Taconi writes, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media about how the 2020 election was, rigged, those statements that were made. What do you say to people who believe that?
I mean, to kind of answer Steve's question here, you know, it's understandable that people have concerns, but the facts just simply don't support those claims. Our 2020 election was one of the most secured in history. Multiple audits, multiple recounts, and court cases all found no evidence of a widespread fraud. It's easy to get caught up on online misinformation, but the truth is our elections are safe, our elections are secure, and our elections are reliable. We have to focus on making sure everyone's voice is heard, and that means trusting the process and working together to improve where we can. It's relatively simple from that standpoint. And again, the commissioner here went through, I'm sure, the slander of everything imaginable during, misguided and election processes of everything that went around through 2020. So I'm going to let her continue to elaborate.
You know, one of the best things that you can do is what you're doing right now at the end of part of this call, because you want to make sure that the information that you're getting is you're getting it from a trusted source. And that's why I'm so happy to be here tonight to do this call and do calls like this around the city with other elected officials in the state Senate and the state House. You know, I've been doing these town halls for a couple years now, and, you know, I'm happy to come out and talk to any group or any organization to go through all this. You know, to go through how we verify ID for mail-in ballots. You know, we verify ID for mail-in ballots with either the Social Security or your PennDOT ID or driver's license, and you have to pass that test. If your application doesn't pass that test, then you fail. We'll send a letter, and if you can't verify your ID, then your vote just does not count. So there is a lot of misconception around, you know, how we're counting votes, how we're mailing out ballots, and I hope that these discussions and more discussions like this throughout the city continue so that people that are interested, such as all of you, continue to get their information from accurate sources. You know, you can check your voter registration status by going to our website at vote.phila.gov. You can get all the information that I'm talking about at that same website. You can reach out to Senator Dillon, come in, talk to his staff, and they can reach out to my staff, and you can have a one-on-one conversation. Whatever we need to do to make sure that the information that's getting out there is accurate and coming from a reliable source, we're happy to do it. Really proud of the 2020 election. It was one of the safest, securest elections Philadelphia ever had in unbelievable circumstances. And I'm thankful to all the Philadelphians that voted, because one thing Philadelphia did show is that we are resilient and we love our freedom and we love our ability to vote.
Right. Let's go to, we have a call from Gloria. Gloria, you are live with the Senator and Commissioner.
Yes. I have a question about questions that are being on the ballot when you get there. How do you get to understand those questions before you get to the polling place? You can break it down into layman's terms for me to understand.
Oh, that's a great question. So you can all, if you're voting in person, you could always go. There always the plain English statement of the questions that's available. Also, it's in the mail ballot packet, so you can find it there. You can go on our website beforehand. At vote.phila.gov to request to look at your ballot and to look at those questions, and you'll have plenty of time in advance to read them and find out about them. You can call us and ask us about them. You know, we just put the questions on the ballot. We don't have anything to do with what the questions are. So if it's a state question that's coming to us from the state legislature, then, you know, you can always ask your state senator here about that question. If it's a city question, it's coming to us from city council. You know, you could direct your questions to the council people. But we encourage you to visit our website at vote.phila.gov and look at your ballot beforehand. Have an opportunity to look at the questions. The plain English statements are available for the voter on election day. But really, if you want to take the time beforehand to be as informed as you can, our website is a great place to go.
Gloria, thank you so much for that question. I want to go back to one of the questions submitted because, you know, we've been talking about accessibility to the polls, at the polls. And Linda in Holmesburg writes, what's being done to help people who might have trouble getting to the polls on election day?
Well, I will say that, you know, if you're having trouble or you're foreseeing something that might prevent you from voting in person on election day, it's a great opportunity to take advantage of the mail-in ballot. So you might want, you can apply for a mail-in ballot. The last day to apply for that mail-in ballot is the 29th of October. So even if, the, you know, up until the 29th of October, you might think you're going to go in person and something, you know, happens or comes up, you don't know if you're going to make it, you know, apply for that mail-in ballot. And then if you decide to go in person, you could always do that, but your vote is secure in the fact of knowing that you have a mail-in ballot application.
Linda, also, you know, accessibility is always a big concern for years now, and that's why we support things like mail-in ballots and we support drop boxes, which makes it easier for everyone to participate. But in addition, there are community groups and there are also local organizations that provide transportation to polling places for those who need it. So if you or someone you know needs help getting to the polls, my office here in the Northeast can connect you to those resources. Voting is obviously a right for all people, and we want to make sure that everyone gets that opportunity to exercise it.
Awesome. And, you know, we are getting closer to the end of our time here, just about a little less than 10 minutes. But I was wondering, Commissioner Dealey, if you would be willing, or either of you would be willing to, again, go over some of those key deadlines, like the deadline to register to vote, again, the mail-in deadline, and what we just need to know, marking our calendars if we're still listening tonight, just so that we're prepared and not waiting until the last minute by accident.
Thank you so much. So election day is November the 5th. The last day to register to vote for the November 5th election is October the 21st. So if you need to register, if you need to change your name, if you'd like to make any changes to your voter registration, you have until October 21st to do that. If anybody in your household, in your family, any of your friends are going to be 18 on or before November the 5th, you want to make sure that you get them registered to vote. And the last day to apply for a mail-in ballot is October the 29th. So if you want to vote by mail, you want to get your application into us as soon as possible. The last day to do that is October the 29th. Always, you can go to our website at vote.phila.gov and get all this information or contact the Senator's office. November 5th, Election Day, we want to encourage everybody. There's a lot of talk always about the presidential election, and certainly it's the top of the ticket. It's important. There's a lot of other important races on the ballot, you know, all the way down the ballot. So you want to make sure to recognize that it's important who our state treasurer is, who our state auditor general is, who our state attorney general is, our state representatives, our state senators. The ballot is more than the president on November 5th, and we're encouraging everybody to please go down the ballot.
And, you know, the election, it's about more than just voting, although to say just is definitely not the best word. But, you know, you talked about becoming a poll worker. What's the process for that in Philadelphia?
We're always looking for election board workers that work election day. We are paying $200 for folks to work elections for us. It's $200 to work the polls for us, $50 for training, and $30 for electronic poll book training. So there's a potential of $280. You can go on our website at vote.phila.gov. You can call our office at 215-686-3460, or you can reach out to Senator Dillon's office. We need poll workers, and in the Northeast in particular, we have a real shortage of election board workers. So if you can hear my voice, the whole Northeast, the whole 5th Senatorial District, we need your help on election day. So if you're off that day, if you recently retired or your situation changed and you're available to work for us, we need your help. So please, please go to our website at vote.phila.gov. Come in and let the Senator's office know We need poll workers in the 5th Senatorial District for November 5th.
And a little bit more of informative information on that, Danielle, and for everybody on the call. 17 years old, right? So we can find our younger generation here to help them get involved civically, help them get involved in their communities and stuff, right? I don't know about you guys, but $280 to a 17-year-old kid's a pretty decent day on the boardwalk down in Wildwood during the summer. But at the end of the day, like I mentioned, Commissioner Dealey and I have taken the efforts to get out to our schools and, again, teach kids about exercising their right to vote, but also teaching them their civic duties and their ways to get involved in their communities and help out on Election Day. So if you have some children or some grandchildren who, would love to be in an opportunity, again, you can call either of our offices and we'll point everybody in the right direction.
Awesome, awesome, exciting. I have the pleasure of being a poll worker back in the day myself, and I think it was $75 back then, but that still felt like a lot of money. again, we are getting close to closing. And Senator, I know there are some bills that have been kind of moving around addressing voting reforms. I don't know if you want to touch on any of those, House Bill 2369, which would help to modernize Pennsylvania's election code, or if there's anything else you want to add just so the people know, like some of the behind-the-scenes work here in the Capitol that is being done to make our processes more streamlined. I don't know if you want to get into that. It might take a little bit too long, but if you
listen,
do.
There's so many different pieces that we tackle here, right? Vote counting, we tackle mail-in voting. We talk, looking into poll worker information, voter registration verification, legislation and voting reforms. You know, if you talk basics of supporting House Bill 2369, its goal here is to modernize Pennsylvania's election code, and this will include establishing early voting locations and allowing same-day voter registrations. We're trying to give some people some more access toward options of exercising their right to vote, right? But then there are also bills out there, like Senate Bill 99, which I'm in opposition to, which would limit voter access by eliminating ballot drop boxes and satellite offices and require in-person submissions of mail-in ballots only at county elected offices. We're not trying to close doors when it comes to giving people the ability to vote. We are trying to open more doors. We are trying to be accessible to people of all ages, to people of all races and everything. You know, when it comes to that, everybody has something going on in their lives that may not give them that opportunity to turn around and vote on Election Day. And by taking away mail-ins, by taking away drop boxes, and by limiting way for people to vote, I just don't see that being a solution in terms of us, really exercising our right and freedom to get everybody's wishes heard when it comes to Election Day.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go to one last question, and then we're going to wrap it up. And we're going to go to Gary. Gary, you are live with Senator and Commissioner. Hi, Gary.
Yes, hello. My question is, if someone requests a ballot and they're a registered voter, since you follow the federal guidelines, and you said a while ago that it could take years to get off the rolls, and they got off if they didn't do a ballot for like two elections. What if they keep requesting a ballot at their old address and they moved away? Is that ballot forwarded?
No. Election mail is not forwarded. And if they would have to keep requesting every year to get that ballot to continue to come to them every year. And if they vote somewhere else, then that gets reported to Pennsylvania or to Philadelphia, so it would stop their ballot from going to their former address in Philadelphia.
All right, good to know. Thank you so much for that question, Gary. And Senator, Commissioner, you can take it away. Close us out.
Sure. Danielle, thank you so much for hosting us here tonight. It's been a great discussion, and I'd like to personally thank my colleague, Commissioner Dealey, here for joining us. And also a big thanks to all of you at home who participated in our telephone town hall discussion. Whether you just listened in or asked questions or gave suggestions, we greatly appreciate you being here. Just as a back note here, if any of you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me and for the commissioner, and we will get back to you with an answer. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my Academy Road office at 215-281-2539. And you can also visit my website at senatordillon.com. So on behalf of myself, before I turn it over to the commissioner, thank you all again for joining us, and everybody enjoy the rest of your night. Commissioner?
Thank you, Senator. I encourage everyone on this call to vote in every election, November and beyond. Whether you want to vote in person or you want to vote by mail, please get out and vote and have your voice heard. What we really want to see is, you know, increased turnout in Northeast Philadelphia in the 5th Senatorial District. We'd love to get some more poll workers, so if you're listening to this call and you're thinking about it, please come and let us know. We need your help. But please be a voter on November 5th. However you vote, either by mail, which is safe and secure, in person, one of our satellite election offices, or at your polling place on November 5th, we encourage you to please vote down the ballot and make sure you get all those offices in. President, straight on down that ballot. We want everybody to be a voter, have your voice heard, get the maximum potential out of that vote, and be on that whole ballot.
Awesome. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Commissioner, and thank you all for listening tonight. Again, if you have a question, you can stay on the line and leave a message, and you will get a response. But again, thank you, everyone, for participating, and we hope you have a great night.